You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Praise the Lord. You know, I've been teaching a series on Sunday mornings for several weeks now on the battle of the mind. You know, just getting your head straight. You know, you're headed where your head is, you know. And in this life, in this world, you've got to focus. You've got to get your mind focused on God. I mean, you'll just absolutely go nuts listening to the news. What's going on around the world, what's going on with the economy, what's going on with gas prices, what's going on, you know, in our government and so on and so forth. The future doesn't look bright in the natural. But, you know, we're not looking at the natural. We're looking at God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tommy and I are anyway. So if you'll get your face in His face and get your eye on Him, it changes your perspective. It all depends on where you're looking from. You know, that's why God wants you to come up a little higher, because things look a lot better from up there than they do down here.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what a visionary is anyway, someone who has vision. He sees further than other people. Someone who is in charge, they call him a supervisor. Mm-hmm. He has supervision. See,
right.
He sees over. He's an overseer. We've used those terms about people in charge of leaders because they see a bigger picture. They see more. Well, you know, everything changes from your perspective. And if you get a little higher, things look a little different than they do when they're down low.
Right.
You know, if you've ever been hunting, you want to be sure and look back every once in a while so you don't get lost. So you know, things look different going back than they do going forward. And in life, things look different if you look at them from God's perspective. God's bigger than this problem.
Yeah.
He's bigger than what you're facing. He's been through that many times before. He's helped many people gone through the same things you're going through. He can get you out of that mess. He's gotten a lot of people out of that mess just like that. Nothing's really happened to you that's very new. It may be new to you and unique to you, but you need to realize things have happened to people for thousands of years. Tragedy, wars, are you with me? All kinds of challenges and all kinds of crises have happened. And so don't internalize the thing. You are not what's happening to you, okay? You may have failed, but you're not a failure. You may have sinned, but you're not a sinner. If you're born again, you're a saint. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Are you with me? Doesn't mean you can't do it again. You can. But you are not what you do. And you're not what's happened to you.
That's good. Huh?
And this problem, don't take it personal. This is better advice than y'all are amening. But problems come and go. Bad days come and go. But I tell you what, God remains the same. He's holding on. He's holding on. And He's good. And He'll help us. And we'll live to see another day. You say, well, I may not. I may go to heaven. Well, you'll see another day in heaven. There's always going to be another day. If you go to heaven, that's a whole lot better than it is here. You're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. God's serious about joy. That's the whole, all of heaven is run on joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and His presence is fullness of joy. So cheer up.
Amen.
Don't want to be uncomfortable when you get out up there. Start having a little joy now. Happiness and joy and peace and purpose and all that doesn't come from what's going on in the world. It comes from what's going on inside of you. Hallelujah. Your mind, what you're thinking on. The battle's in the mind. You have to captivate your thoughts. Turn with me to John 14. I know we last week started out with John 14:1, but I want to go to another verse, which we talked about last week. Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Woo!
Amen. That's right.
I believe in God. How about you?
Yes. Yes.
I believe in Jesus.
Yes.
All right. I don't know about what's going on in the news. I don't know what's going on in the Middle East and over in you know, all those Arabic countries. And I don't know about all the oil prices and OPEC. And you know, I don't know all about what's going on the border, you know, and what's going on with health care and all. I don't know all that stuff. I know something about it. But you know, I know this. I believe in God.
Yes.
And I believe in Jesus. So I don't have to let my heart be troubled.
Come on.
And of course, believing is the key, see? Do you believe it's going to get better? Do you believe you're going to come out? Do you believe you're going to make it? Do you believe God's bigger than that problem? Do you believe that He'll supply your needs? Do you believe He's your shepherd and you won't lack? Do you believe? If you believe, you don't have to let your heart be troubled. You can make a decision. Well, I just choose to be happy. It's a choice. To rejoice is a choice. Hallelujah. To be happy is a choice. So smile. Hallelujah. All right. Well, In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus actually reiterates this. If you read this whole chapter, he talks about him being here sent from God, and if you've seen him operate, you've seen God operate, and you know, and he says, you know, what I do, you'll do, and you like these miracles, you've seen how God moves in my life, he'll move in your life. He was God, he was the Son of God, but he also set up a whole new kingdom and a whole new family, and you and I as Christians are in this family, and God can move through us just like he moved through Jesus, and he'll hear your prayers just like he heard his prayers, and we can pray in his name, and whatever we ask in his name, he'll do it. That's in this chapter, 14th chapter. You know, when trials come and crisis comes, be quick to pray. Be quick to believe God. You believe in God, believe in Jesus.
That's right.
Be quick to use the name of Jesus. Be quick to turn it over to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you out there?
Yes.
So he gives us instruction. And even when this life is over, you know, Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I will have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, you know, I'll come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And he told us there's a heaven to gain. Hallelujah. So even after we leave this life, no doom, gloom, and destruction here. Nothing but joy on the other side of this deal. It just gets better and better and better. We have every reason to rejoice. We have every reason to have a good day. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A broken spirit drieth up the bones. See, really, what God's given us here is prescription for joy. He's given us a prescription, subscribed by the great physician, for you to daily take these gospels. Hello? If you'll take these gospels in your life and you'll apply them, you'll eat them, then you'll have health and you'll have joy. Hallelujah. You'll have a good day. So he says this in the 23rd verse. Y'all found it? John 23. We're talking about how to have a good day. Hallelujah. I said, I think last week, you know, I was talking about Channel 4, you know, Fox 4 News. Have you had a good day lately? Well, you know, it's your choice. I've had several of them. I've had some opportunities now to throw the towel in. I mean, I had to go down and help Jonathan move out of a third floor apartment in Austin Monday. And Tuesday, I couldn't walk. Oh, I could. It was kind of like this. You know, my calves were just... I decided to have a good day because I had to go to center Tuesday and get my expedition, which broke down the week before. Yeah, the computer chip went out. The whole circuit board went out and that handles the fuses and the relays and everything, and it just went, gave them $465.60. No big deal. Not like I don't even remember what it was. And, went back and got my expedition and came back. So, you know, but hey, I decided to have a good day.
Yeah.
Trenton had helped Ryan clear around the pond, you know, that weekend. So Trenton wasn't in school that day because he had poison ivy and his eyes were swelled shut. So anyway, he went with me. Yeah, I took Itchy with me. His eyes were much better Tuesday than Monday. Anyway. He talked all the way over there. We just had a big time. You know, I decided I was going to have a good day, no matter what happened. He talked and talked. I didn't know Trenton talked that much. I just, man, he talked and he slept all the way back. Hallelujah. But anyway. But you can just choose. You know, you can get all irate and get upset and mad and just, you know, why is everybody always picking on me? Charlie Brown syndrome, you know, or you can say, this is the day the Lord has made, I'll rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But here's Jesus speaking. 23rd verse, 14th chapter. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Everybody say, keep my word.
Keep my word.
Now obviously, if you were reading this, you would have read this chapter up to this point. And you would have seen how Jesus said, hey, I'm good and God's good. If you see me, you see God. And you know, the things I'm doing, you can do. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it to the Father, maybe glorify the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And I'll send you another comfort, the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you all things and guide you into truth. And, you know, you would have read that. And so he's saying here, if you love me, you'd keep my word. So when trouble comes, you pray, you'd stand on his word, you'd call on his name, you'd lean on the Holy Spirit. Are you out there? See, I think we missed this. trouble comes, and then kind of the last thing we do is go to God. And I love telling that story. As a pastor friend of mine had a bunch of men together and in the church. They're having a men's meeting. Something had come up in the church. It was pretty a crisis that they needed to handle. They were talking about it, and one of the guys said, "Wow, sound like we need to pray." And another guy says, "Oh no, has it come down to that?" You know, like that's the last thing you do. But really, you ought to make that the first thing you do. Amen? If you want to have a good day, I'll tell you, if you want peace, if you want not be rattled, okay, then you need to draw strength from God, like that prophecy at tongue interpretation. You need to draw strength from God. You need to pray. You need to do His Word. And if you love God, you will. If you really, really love Jesus, if He's the light of your life, you know, you're always thinking about Him. You're conscious of His presence. You're quick to call on Him and obey Him. Amen? As if He were there, because He is. And he says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. I love that. Praise God. You know, you don't have to ask God to go with you. He goes with you everywhere you go. He said, "No, I never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the earth." Some people take that literally and they don't fly in planes because I think God's just low with them. "Lo, I'm with you, but not high." But we need to start serving coffee, don't we, on Sunday mornings? Okay. But He's with us and He loves us and He wants to abide with us and He wants to live with us. You think God's going to go under? No. If He's with you and Jesus is with you, you're not going to go under. Amen. He's in your house. He's taking care of you. He's your daddy. He'll provide. He's your shepherd, and so on and so forth. It says, 25th verse, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." I love that. That just to me is so powerful. And I lean on that so heavily that it's not my mind, it's the Holy Spirit bringing it to my remembrance. Yeah. You know, you say, "Well, I just don't have a good memory. I don't have a good mind, or I didn't do well in school." Well, I didn't have a chance. They kicked me out, okay? Hello? I mean, if you want to talk about academics, you know, I didn't even, you know, I was so wild and lost, did not know the Lord. I didn't finish school. I didn't get to finish school because of my own lifestyle. They kicked me out for good reason. Called the police and told me I couldn't even drive on the parking lot. For real. Seriously, for real. And yet, God saw something in me. Are you with me? He saw something no one else saw. Hallelujah. So I don't lean on my background. I don't lean on my natural ability and gifts. I lean on the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm amazed sometimes things that, scriptures that come and you know, we'll just, like in the class, a lot of times we'll just, you never know where we're going to go in the class. I just pick a subject just to be nice, to let people think we're teaching on a certain subject. But when you get in there, people ask questions and it may go anywhere, you know. We go off on rabbit trails that have a lot of meat on them. They're juicy. They're worth chasing. And we chase them down. But I'm amazed. My mind just, boy, that scripture comes and that's supernatural. It's got to be. It's got to be the Spirit bringing it to me. You ever been in a situation where a scripture just came out of nowhere? Well, I can tell you, it's not out of nowhere. Right. It came by the Holy Spirit. Right. And if you'll settle down, see, and that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get you so rattled. He wants to get you so upset. He wants you to get so frantic that you cannot hear God, that you cannot hear, listen to your spirit that's trying to speak to you and calm you down and give you some hope and give you some help. It's the hope in you. Like we sang today, that lights up your world, the hope in you. But you have to, as Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." You got to be still. You got to chill out. Yeah. Take a chill pill. Mm-hmm. Are you there? Yeah. And think about what God says and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Oh, hey, we're going to make it. We're going to be just fine. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, that's right. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can make it. I can get through this day. Greater is He that's in me than he's in the world. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. All things are possible to God. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth in Mark 9:23. So I believe, so all things are possible to me. See, start meditating on what the Word says. And say it. Say it out loud. Get up and say it. When you're down the lowest, shout the loudest. Get up and repeat the Word. Make it personal. Are you out there? We don't live in a vacuum. You can't just empty your mind. You have to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. And act on it. Do it. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my words. Do them. 24th verse. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He is our Helper. Hallelujah, somebody. I have the Holy Spirit to help me. I have the Holy Spirit to guide me, to lead me, to strengthen me. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3, you know, that you'd be strengthened with might in the inner man. In the inner man. It's what's on the inside. You hold up an empty Coke can, you can just crush it. You hold up one that has not been opened, you can't budge it. They both look identical, but what's different is what's on the inside. Pressures of life come on both, but one you can crush and one you can't. What's the problem? The problem's not the outside pressure. The problem is what's on the inside. Hello. Now, see, you get this on the inside. You get God living and at home on the inside of you. You get His Word on the inside of you. You meditate on and strengthen your inner man by the power and the presence and the ability of the Holy Spirit. Then pressures can't crush you. You won't crater when the pressure comes, because pressure does come. I'm telling you, we live in a crazy world. People have never lived in the times that we're living in. You know, Luke 21, verse 26 says, men's hearts fail them for fear and expectation of the things that are come upon the earth. People are in fear. People are in absolute, abject fear. Are you with me? And of anticipation of what's coming on the earth. Afraid our governments will collapse. Afraid our dollar's going to collapse. Afraid gas going to go to $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 a gallon. What are we going to do? What's going on? They're riding all around the world. Oh, oh. Hey, take a chill pill. A gospel. God hadn't died. God didn't say, oops. God wasn't surprised. He's still good. He's still God. He's still got power. His is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever, not the devil. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord, not the devil. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit helps us, and I like this. He helps us remember what Jesus said. He says, well, I just don't know those scriptures like you do. Well, you read them. Read them. Read them and say them and go over them, and the Holy Spirit will bring them when you need them. He'll bring them. Well, do you hear what the news said? Do you hear what the newspaper said? Did you read this? Well, hey, do you hear what God said? I love that, Brother Osteen. You know, he'd get on a, Brother John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad. He was our pastor for years. He'd get on a plane and sit down beside someone. He said lots of times he sat down by someone and had a newspaper, reading his newspaper. He said, I'd pull my Bible out and I'd punch him. I'd say, you got the bad news, I got the good news. Amen? And this is the good news. Glory. Well, notice what he says. He leads up to this, and he says this in the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. Get it? We love God. We've been keeping His Word. Amen? We've been leaning on the Holy Spirit to bring it to our remembrance. Man, I'm telling you, this verse, that 26th verse, I've stood on that for years and years. When I first got saved, I'd done a lot of drugs before I got saved. And just every day, you know. I mean, if you wake up sober one day or straight one day and you think, oh, wow, this is what it's like to be sober. You know, because you just did it every day. And then weekends, you would just, that's when you'd party. I'm just telling you the way it was. We'd do drugs and drink every day and go to work and, you know, and smoke dope every night. And, you know, on the weekend, then you'd really party. I'm serious. It's a crazy way to live. And I live that way. And I do so many drugs. I do acid. I used to do a lot of acid. And, you know, I do so many drugs and so much speed, I'd be up for days. And then I had to take a bunch of downers to get down because I'd been all those uppers. And then your stomach's all messed up. And there are times that I'd go out and way out in the country. My dad lived out in the country, and I'd put a tent up, and I'd sit out there for 2-3 days and just try to straighten myself out, you know. And then I'd get all straightened out. Whew, man, you know, get straightened out and go hit it again. Live that way. No peace. You don't know direction. So I got, anyway, I got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I accepted Jesus. Got delivered from all that. And turned my life over to God. And I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember people's names. I couldn't remember phone numbers. I couldn't remember anything. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I know you think you're crazy. You've got the best memory I ever heard. People tell me that all the time about my memory. But I would pray. I had a little closet in my apartment where I lived on the second floor, not the third. Chateau Creole Apartments, Deer Park, Texas. I was working in a chemical plant down there in Pasadena, Deer Park area. And I had a little closet in one of our bedroom, and I put a little card table up, and I'd read my Bible. I didn't know where anything was. I didn't know where anything was. I just, you know, I'd just read it every day. I'd come home, and I'd read my Bible. I was so obsessed with it in a good way. You know, I'd been so lost and so undone, and, man, I got saved, and my sins are forgiven, and I got a future, and I got a hope now, and, oh, man, I was just hungry. I was just empty. I didn't know anything about God or the Bible, and I'd read it every day, hours every day. I mean, Bernie could testify, I'd just come in, take a shower, and I'd get in that closet, and I'd just read and read and read, and I had little index cards, and I'd write scriptures on index cards, and I'd put them on the wall, and I had this wall just covered with scriptures, and I'd look at it, oh, man, that's so good. That is just awesome. I didn't know that was in there, you know, and I didn't know anything about God or anything. I'd write that, and this verse, I would say this verse over and over. I said, God, help me remember. I would pray. I said, God, help my mind. Help me remember these scriptures. Bring them to my remembrance. I'd say this scripture over and over. That the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance whatever you said to me. Here's what you said. I'm reading it. I'm doing my part. I'm putting this on cards. Father, help me remember. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. Are you kidding? I didn't know I was going to teach or pastor. I just saved, glad to be saved. My sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. I come out of that lifestyle and, you know, but God help me. God helped my mind. He did. He helped my mind because I asked Him to. See, and that's the whole point. You've got to ask God to help you.
That's right.
If you will, He will help you. He just got through saying this on this whole chapter, if you read this, about keeping His word. Well, pray. Ask God to help you in Jesus' name. Help me to remember His promises when I hear the bad news. Help me to remember I'm going to come out of this, hallelujah, no matter what the devil's trying to tell me. Help me to remember that I can keep my peace and I can keep my joy and I'm going to live to see another day, no matter what it looks like in the natural. Lord, help me to remember that what Your word says. Lean on the Holy Spirit to do that, and He will. He'll bring it to your remembrance. Talk to the TV. Hey, I got a good idea. Turn it off. I'm always talking to the TV, you know, quoting a scripture to the TV. That's not what God says. You know, no, I don't believe that. You know, and finally I finally turned the channel. But anyway, but I like to sit there and argue a little bit, you know, before I do that. You know what I mean? But I'm telling you something here, not just a principle, not just a formula, not just something I've read in a book, although it is in here. I'm telling you what I've proved in my life here. I have proved this verse. Proverbs 3:5 was another one I stood on all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Well, I didn't have a whole lot of understanding to lean on, so it wasn't a problem. But anyway, I would quote that verse, you know, Lord, I trust You with all my heart. I trust You with my heart. And it goes on and says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, He'll direct your paths. And He says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. So I'd quote those verses over and over. I mean, I had these little cards just stuck everywhere, you know. And I still do things like that. I still go over and underline and type out and write out. And I still have index cards that I use. But I'm going to remind myself of what God says. It's not what I see out here. It's not what I feel. It's not what everybody else is saying. It's what God says that matters. And it's what God says that's going to give you peace. You will never have peace. You will always be rattled. You will always be frantic and hectic. Your life will be hectic. You will be in trouble all the time. Hallelujah. Don't know how you're going to make it. Wringing your hands, pacing the floor, walking in circles like Brenda was talking about. Feel like you're going nowhere. What am I doing in my life? No purpose. It'll always be that way without Jesus being first in your life and His word being first in your life. This is more than just going to heaven. This is about making something out of you. This is about you becoming what God wants you to be. This is more than just dying and having eternal life in heaven. God wants to make you and conform you to the image of His Son. He wants you to be walking peace, walking joy, hallelujah, walking confidence, hallelujah, walking courage, walking faith. He wants you to just be living and breathing Jesus, and people see that confidence and that peace on you when everything is falling apart, and they'll run to you and say, what is that? And you can point them to Jesus. In the midst of the gunfire, in the midst of the battle, the rockets, you know, and the bombs and everything's going off, you're just a calm in the middle of a storm. Takes time, takes discipline, but it's worth the effort. Amen?
Yeah.
So he says, peace, 27 verse, I leave with you. Jesus did leave. He's in heaven. But he left peace with us. And he sent us his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. He is not what we call an Indian giver. God bless Indians. Well, you got to watch it. You know, anything you say today, everybody twists it. Just no saying, you know. And I'll tell you, I never understood that anyway. Indian giver, they just, you know, Indians, they just give it to and take it back. Well, what do we do to them? Come on. Man, we made more treaties and took more land back. Come on. Anyway, don't be like that. That's what he's saying. And God's not that way. He doesn't just give it, take it right back from you. God gives it to you to have and to keep and to abide in your life. He'll be your God when your hair turns gray. He'll be your God when it turns loose. He'll be your God the whole of your life. And one thing I found out as the years go by, he's more precious. He's a greater protector and a greater provider and a greater lover of my soul. Every year it goes by, I'm more aware of that. I'm more humbled by his protection. I'm humbled by his provision. I am humbled by his grace and his favor on my life and my family. As the years go by and as I get older, I am more convinced, not less. As I get wiser, I don't become less a believer. I become more a believer in him. I am so convinced of his presence in my life. I am so convinced of heaven. I am so convinced as the years go by of what I preach and what I teach. I am so desperate need of the things that I minister to you. Because that's really what I do. I just get up here and minister to you what I do out of his word. So it gives me some moral authority. I mean, I'm not just reading to you out of some concordance where I looked up some words. You know, I'm actually just sharing with you what I do in my life out of God's word. It's not right because I've made it happen. It's right because he says it. But since he does say it, there should be some people that have done it.
Right.
And your testimony is important. My testimony is important. And these things have worked in my life. There's a lot of times I felt rattled. There's a lot of times I felt overwhelmed. There's many times I felt like a shell of a man. Didn't think I could make it another hour. I mean, another phone call, another crisis, another bad news. I think I'll just fall all to pieces. I felt that way. We all have. Come on. There's lots of times I felt depressed. Didn't want to get out of bed. You know, didn't want to go to church. But I'm a pastor. I got to come to church. Are you with me? Lots of times I just wanted to throw the towel in and give up. Who hadn't had those feelings? We've all had those feelings. But see, that's not the right thing to do. That's the times you need to pray. That's the times you need to stop, slow down, get in the Word, start saying what God says. And, you know, you say, well, I feel like I'm faking it. Well, fake it till you make it. Amen. Just keep saying it and keep faking it, and it'll become a reality. Start standing on the Word. Hallelujah. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow. In the time of trouble, God has an answer. The answer is in his word. If you want answers, you've got to ask. I mean, you've got to start looking for them. And if you really want them, you need to look in the right place. And God's word is the right place. We need to keep them, God's word, in our heart. Turn over to Luke 10. Hallelujah. This helping you?
Yes.
So glad you came today. Not that I wouldn't have preached to Brenda. Lord knows she needs it. But no worse than I do. Hey, I did get a good email from Betty Brown the other day. I thought it was really good. It really ministered to me. It was like a picture of a guy and Adam and Eve, and he was talking to someone that says the original sin. It's when I taught Eve how to talk. So, that one didn't go over very big at all, but anyway, the original sin. Okay. Okay, I did tell Betty that would not endear me to the women if I said that one, but hallelujah. Christina's going to get that in a minute. It's going to be funny. Luke 10. You know this passage of Scripture. This is interesting. It talks about Martha. And Martha was one of those that just worried and fretted about everything. You know anybody that just worries about everything? Everything's a crisis. There's nothing that's minor. Everything's major. You know, maybe you're that way. Maybe you've been that way. Hey, settle down. I know a lot of people that way. Nothing's going on in their life that's not the end of the world. It's like a crisis. And if it's not the end of the world, we can make it. We can make it the end of the world. It may be a molehill. We're going to make a mountain out of it, you know. And often we'll talk ourselves up. You know, there's a trouble going on, a problem going on, bad news or, you know, or a need or whatever. And I mean, we just talk that thing up and we work that thing up and we magnify, not the Lord, but we magnify the problem. See, the more you talk about anything, you magnify it. That's why the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. Well, if you magnify God by talking about Him, by praising Him, by worshiping Him, by telling people about Him, you can magnify a problem the same way by talking about it all the time. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. You ever seen that commercial? I just love it because it's so true. There's a lady's in an elevator and there's another lady with a cast. It says, hello, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've just had 17 surgeries and I have 23 more to go. Before long, she's got her cornered with that cast, and she can't go anywhere. She's still telling her all her problems. You know, all she did was just ask her how she's doing. You know, some people you don't want to ask them how they're doing. I've seen people. You walk up to them and they're smiling and say, "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, not too good." Think, what happened? I just asked them how they were doing. I mean, their countenance changed, and they start telling you everything wrong with their body and everything wrong with their family and everything wrong. Hello. Been there? Okay. And maybe those things are going on, but you know what? By stripes we're healed. Hallelujah. Let's pray about the situation. Maybe we need to pray over our children. Maybe we need to pray over a husband or a wife or whatever the case may be. I'm not saying we're without problems and challenges, but we got answers. Hallelujah. And there's two ways of looking at that thing. Hallelujah. So here's Martha. Y'all ready for Martha? Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha. See, I told you there's a Martha in here. Okay. Welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Make a note of that. I mean, that's significant that she was there. But contrary to Martha, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There's a difference in these two women. They were sisters. But Martha was distracted. Isn't that the case? I mean, isn't that what the devil wants to do is distract us? I think it's interesting how the devil really just wants to keep us out of the Bible, out of the Word, out of, you know, well, you never know about God. You never know what He can do, you know. And, oh, I believe in Jesus, but, you know, oh, I wouldn't pray about anything. No, there's people who have a whole lot more needs than I've got. And, you know, all these ideals start coming to our head. But how are you going to help anybody if you don't get your needs met, though? If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. If you never pray about anything that God offered you and God asked you to pray about, under the idea that there are people that have greater needs than you, well, there's always people that have greater needs than you. There's people that don't have the needs you have. But that's not the point. God's big enough to handle all of them. You will not bankrupt heaven by asking God to help you. God's got enough help for you and everybody else that has all those other needs. Hello. But see, we can get so busy just doing everything but believing, but praying, but going to church or standing on God's word or seeking out His face that little things that are not really that bad can distract us. We settle for the good instead of the best, as it were. You know, and it's easy to do. It's the main thing we forget. And we're not really great sinners. We're not robbing a bank. You know, we're not out there stealing or anything. We're just not serving God. And the devil likes to distract us. Sometimes he'll do it with just much service. Busy, 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 busy all the time. Too busy to go to church. Trying to make money for the family and all. I understand all that. But you know, you need to make time for church. You need to come to church. You need that. I need that. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Screwtape Letters. Y'all ever heard of it? It's convoluted thinking. It's real backwards thinking because the book is based on a demon called Screwtape. And he's writing to his nephew, who's another demon that is tempting someone. So everything's backwards. The father below is the devil. The enemy above is God. And so it's really insightful, though. and how he begins to tempt. And this little nephew, every letter was a letter from Screwtape, the Screwtape letters, to his nephew. It's a fictional book, but it's a lot of insight. And he wrote this letter, one letter in particular, where the younger, the nephew, was all excited about a great sin that he had got this guy he was assigned to commit. And the older demon wrote back to him and said this. I thought this was real good. He'll say, "You will say that these are very small sins." He was trying to get him to not be so concerned about a big sin. "And doubtless, like all young tempters, you are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy above, God. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided they are cumulative. The cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder's no better than cards if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the little things that we don't realize that the devil's just trying to get us away and distract us. Here's Martha. She wasn't even doing anything wrong. She was serving. She was cleaning the house and cooking the food and serving. But Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus. Listen, if Jesus shows up, I'm not going to be mowing the yard. Are you with me? I think there's something a little more important mowing my yard right now. Jesus is in the house. I'm going to sit at his feet. I'm not going to let that distraction take place. See, the obvious thing in Mary's life, she was too busy. And wasn't anything terribly wrong or evil. Just too busy for God. I talk to a lot of families. I'm just too busy to come to church. You know, we got this going on, that going on. And I'm not talking about on occasion. I know we take vacations, we go places and so on. I understand that. But you know, Brent and I, when we go on vacations, we go to church. We go to Hawaii, I go to church. Brent and I go to church. We find a good one. You know, we found a good one in Hawaii. We go to Hawaii pretty often. And I go, in fact, I've gone there so much now, they ask me to preach every time I come over there. Which that wasn't, you know, I didn't do that intentionally. I would have gone happy to sit there and just listen to them. It's a good little church. I love going there. You know, we just do that. We go to the beach with all the family. And if it's in the middle of the week, we'll get together and have a Bible study on Wednesday night. Because we do church. Church, we do church. We're just, that's our life. That's, are you with me? That's my strength. That's my peace. That's my confidence. I know this is a shock to you. I really believe this stuff. It's not just a job. I just don't show up down here, you know, and you pay me a paycheck and I walk away. Well, you don't pay me anyway. You know, I'm on an offer basis. But I do this because I believe this. It has saved my life and my family. My children are serving God. And, you know, I think I'll never, ever, ever be able to repay God and pay God back for all he's done for me in my life. All he's overlooked in my life, all the times he stuck with me and stayed with me and was patient with me and loved me and saw a future in me and saw a hope in me when I didn't see one, when everybody gave up, he didn't give up. Oh, no, no, no. I'll serve him forever. He's done more for me than anybody ever will. And I love you and I thank you for all you've done. But I tell you, God, Jesus is the central part of my life. Over my wife and over my children. In fact, because of my love for Jesus, I love Brenda. I love her better than I could ever love her because of my love for God. I love my children and have been a better daddy to them than I could have ever been if I didn't love the Lord. I hadn't been perfect, but I tell you, I'd have been a disaster and a terror without Jesus as a father. But I've known the Lord. My love for him has helped me be a better daddy and helped me be a better husband and helped me be a great pastor. No, I'm not, you know, I'm not. That just sounds so arrogant to even say it that way. But I mean, I love you and I love this church because I love God. And he's kept me from being rattled. Kept me from chewing you out when I wanted to. Kept you from chewing me out when you wanted to, you know. Work both ways. So it says here, oh, let's wrap this up. Y'all ready? Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." I mean, she'd already fallen into that nobody cares about me syndrome. You ever been there? No one's doing anything around here. Lord, do you not care? The Lord doesn't even care. I'm doing all this and nobody notices. You ever been there? You know what? You need to take a word break. You're not being a very good word bird. You need to take a word break. You need to sit down, stop, just throw everything. Stop everything, sit down, open up your Bible, and begin to read. Take a little gospel. Take two, three of them. Are you out there? Because first of all, you get a little stuck on yourself there. Yeah, it gets quiet when I talk like that. I've been there, I'm telling you. I've been around this church doing things and wondering, where is everybody? Oh, yeah, working around the church, doing things, building. You know, I love to build. And, you know, I just got my hands in everything, just building. And built those two rooms for the food bank. And Bobby and Ted, you know, came out and helped me quite a bit on that. And but sometimes I'll work on things, and, you know, and I'm thinking, this is not right. I'm the pastor of this church. I shouldn't be doing this. Where is everybody? And then I'll remind myself, you know, I was going to hell one day. Now I'm going to heaven. I'm just glad to be here. Thank God for what I'm doing. God sees what I'm doing. You ever been there? You ever done something? You feel like you're the only one doing it? Hello. Nobody else knows. Nobody else cares. You know, you need a word break. You need to stop and chill out and quit being so fretful and worried. In fact, that's what he's talking about. She says, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled. Worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed." Phillips translation says the most important thing is. "And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Think about that. What was the thing that Mary chose that Martha didn't? Mary chose the word. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet when Martha didn't. Martha was doing good things. She was busy. She was working, but she was working too much. She had put work over her time with God. I, as a pastor, can put serving you over my time with God. I can put preaching over my time with God. It could become a job to me, and I could burn out. People ask me all the time about, what about burnout? It's 29 years now we've been here. 29 years. 29 years. You have got to be kidding. I've been here that long. Well, when you start at 10, it doesn't take long. You know, it goes flies by. Been pastoring for 29 years, and you say, well, don't you get tired? Actually, I'm more excited right now than I ever been. I'm more rejuvenated right now than I ever been, because I don't dwell on that. See, I do love the Lord, and I spend time with the Lord, and I love to read and study, and I love to share what He's, you know, shown me. But if I don't spend time with Him, and if I don't get in the Word myself personally during the week, if I don't do this during the week, this will burn me out. On Sundays and Wednesdays, it'll completely burn out. And pastors burn out like anybody. You will never burn. You can burn out ministering to people, but you'll never burn out ministering to Jesus. And when ministering to people is more important than ministering to Jesus, you're going to run out. You're going to run out. And doing things for God, if that's more important than spending time with God. Now, there's a balance. You have to spend time with God and do things for God, but spending time with God strengthens you. Before you watch that news, if you're determined to watch it and you can't help yourself and you have got to find out what's going on around the world, spend a little time in the Word to get it straight. Because this is more up-to-date, more current. I know what's going to happen at the end of the world without watching the news. I know how it's all going to turn out. And we win this deal. Amen. So there's Martha. She didn't have her priorities straight. She was blaming everybody for her problems, not helping her. She didn't put the Word first in her life like Mary did. We can see that very plainly. In fact, you know, the different translations where it says you are worried and troubled. One translation says you are worried and bothered, and one says fretting and fussing. I like that. And one translation says anxious and troubles thyself. And you do trouble yourself when you don't put God first in your life. But Jesus recognized these symptoms immediately. You notice that? He just went right to the chase. He knew exactly what was wrong. And he diagnosed the problem and subscribed the cure. The great physician had a prescription. And it was the one thing that she needed that Mary had taken a hold of. And that one thing was to heed or take hold of His Word. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then He said, my peace, the peace I give to you, the world can't take it away. world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Y'all heard that song? This joy that I have. The world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away. This joy that I have, the world can't take it away because the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Same thing about this peace, amen? So, hey, don't be troubled. Take the prescription. Take a double dose of what God says you can have and have some peace in this life. Listen, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. The river's going to flow and the buffalo going to roam. It's going to happen. Everything's going to go on, rock on day by day, and one day Jesus is going to come back and we're going to go to heaven. But until then, he's still going to be supplying my needs. He's still going to be my shepherd. He's still going to give me peace. He's still going to walk with me and talk with me as I walk in life's way. Hallelujah. And I'm leaning on him heavy to bring to my remembrance his word and his promises so I can have peace and chill out. And you can do it too. Amen.